Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Palmerbet on the edge of the box. Oh, it's a straight-up screamer.
Download our app today and enjoy straight-up screamers this FIFA World Cup with great odds, great promos and same-game multi at Palmerbet. Gamble responsibly. For gambler's help, call 1-800-858-858.
We are the Storm from Melbourne Town. We'll blow the others off the ground. We are the Storm and we're number one.
On 1116 SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
The Melbourne Storm Hour starts every Tuesday night, and life is so much easier when you deal with the Melbourne Storm because they just continue to win. They're the last undefeated team in the National Rugby League for this particular year, and that's something that doesn't surprise any of us. 1-300-736-736 to get involved. Let's get into the Melbourne Storm Hour, of course, in the studio. Two guys who are on the way back, and one is really starting to fly right about now. Scotty Drinkwater and Shandor Earl in the studio. Hello to you, boys.
Be here.
We're going to get to injuries. We're going to talk about T-Bone. Now, of course, Jack Everin is traditionally in control, and he told me about the T-Bone of the Week Award, so I'm looking forward to picking my way through that and also talking about the recovery of how you boys are going. And I know you're very close, Shandor, which we'll get to very shortly. But just we want to start with the Valentine Holmes news today that he has signed with the practice squad with the New York Jets. And we went through this a couple of years ago with Jarryd Hayne, and a player in your situation or in your competition is now going to give it a crack. Well, what comes through your mind when you, one, hear the news, and two, that he's signed on and he's getting closer to a dream? What goes through your mind when someone from your competition does this?
Yeah, I mean, me and Drinky were just talking about it before. It's pretty cool. I mean, we're all big fans of American sports, especially NFL. So when we see someone go over and have a crack, we're all pretty supportive. So this one seems pretty genuine. You know, Valentine Holmes is going over there in the peak of his career. He's still young, but looks like he's going to have a good crack. So, you know, I don't know. It's going to be tough, obviously, different sport and things like that. But, yeah, what an opportunity.
You would have come up against him at some point and had some exposure to him on field. How he looks insanely athletic from where I sit in the stands. Is that a fair thing to say about him? And obviously, how does that translate in the NFL? That's for us to find out and see how it plays out. But he looks like someone at his age that might be able to adapt to the changing and the skill set needed.
Yeah, I just think his agility and his speed would probably fit perfect into a wide receiver. He's got great footwork. So, you know, sort of beating those one-on-one defenders like you have to beat a cornerback. So, you know, I think he'll fit in well on the wide receiver and, yeah, take it. Just catching the contact in the air, getting hit in the air would probably be a bit of a surprise to him. So probably the main thing, yeah.
Hey, did you guys talk about stuff like this in the locker room at practice? And do you talk about sometimes allow yourself to dream about doing something and maybe changing codes? Like, is that a conversation that happens in that locker room or the Melbourne Storm dressing sheds?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, we're all such big fans of American sport. Like, yeah. I think I've always had conversations of who would go well over in the NFL. You know, I always used to, when there was a bit of talk about, I used to play with Josh Dugan, and he's a mad fan too. He's always keen. I always thought like a Greg Inglis as like a tight end or something, because the American players, they're just freak athletes.
They
you know
are.
What I mean? Their speed and things like that are at another level compared to what we're used to. But so you always think of players that could transfer. But as I said, Holmes is in the peak of his career. As Drinky mentioned, he's got all the attributes. So it'll just be awesome to see him go over there and then put rugby league on the map.
Is it also good, small relief to have him no longer in the league, considering how talented and dangerous he is to be running out there each and every week and knowing that, hey, one of the best guys, and still at 23, so his prime you would expect is still to come, is no longer a challenge for you guys when it comes to what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah, it's pretty glad that you don't come against a Cronulla team or whatever team you'd
be. Good for New South Wales.
Yeah, he's good for New South Wales. He was dominating that wing there.
All right, let's talk a little bit. And I'm wondering, because this gets raised every single year. And 1-300-736-736 to get involved. Win 18-16, a win on the weekend, Melbourne Storm, stay 4-0 and stay undefeated. But Golden Point gets raised, the talk about it, the pros and cons for it every single year. And sometimes it's early in the year, sometimes it's late, and right now it seems to be firing up. As players, What are your thoughts on Golden Point and the way that it's structured? And are you happy with the way it is in the game at the moment? Do you think it needs to be tinkered with? How do you like that we have a tie and how it plays out after it?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's a couple of other sports you could compare it to. I think the Golden Point is a good, you know, it's a good way to end the game. But I think it is slightly unfair on the team. You get to that 80-minute mark, yep, and you get nothing at the end of it. Also, you know, people have sort of tossed up in the past that it's become a bit of a kickathon. So really, people are just trying to go for that 1 point. So I reckon it'd be cool to see something a bit more exciting. And whether you go all the way through to the end, sort of similar to basketball, like, mm-hmm, if there's a try, you still get another opportunity, same as soccer. So I reckon that would be a little bit better.
Does it change the game too much? Like you don't spend 80 minutes trying to get 1 point in a very rare situation you do, but all of a sudden you get to extra time, which is so important, and all of a sudden the game, does the game just totally change and what goes through your boys' minds when you're in Golden Point to what you've been trying to do for 80 minutes?
Yeah. You don't probably run as, you know, many attacking shapes. You try and be pretty conservative and cut the ball up, and, you know, if you can get in a position for a field goal, you generally want to take that. It's probably the main goal you want to get. You know, you rarely see people score tries, but probably just as a, watching as a fan, you know, it is exciting, but yeah, you don't really get to see the flair, the attacking flair.
It's exciting to a point though, because we don't go to the rugby league, we don't watch anything in the league world to try and see someone kick. You know, we go there for tries. That is essentially what the game is built about. And that's, it's exciting because you're in the moment where it's like, you know how important the next minute or the 5 metres or 10 metres is going to be. But it's only this situation. It's not actually the act of what actually happens that excites us fans, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a heap of things tossed up. They're even tossing up, like, sort of the touch, how the touch players do it, where they start to drop players off, you know what I mean, like over a 10-minute period. Like, that would be, I just reckon, make it as exciting, interesting, and tactical as possible.
Would you boys like that? If they did that and they just dropped the line.
Us speedsters would like it.
It'd be crazy.
Imagine a one-on-one battle to end, you know, the game. That's what fans would be there for.
Yeah, 100%. I reckon if you can make more tactical, more exciting at that end period, I'm all for it.
Do you think they'll tinker with it though? Do you think, because it is as much as there's so much sort of talk for it, it is going to be a big move if the ARL or the NRL actually make the decision to change it in whatever format. Do you think they'll actually pull the trigger on it?
Did they change it in the finals? Was it 5 minutes each way or last year?
Yeah, there is a change to the finals. I don't know.
It's not in in-season, but
no, I don't know what it is.
That'd be pretty cool to have it in-season. Like basketball, just go the whole way through.
Yeah.
When you have different rules or different situations in the season compared to the finals, and in the AFL you don't have any extra time, and then all of a sudden in finals there is, so there's three different scoring, or there used to be three scoring different timing things. As a player, do you scratch your head as to why there's a different rule in September compared to when it is in the regular season?
A little bit, but in September, you need to find a winner.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, so it's important to get that outcome. So I think it's fair enough at the end of the day.
You could argue, though, we need to find a winner in the regular season.
Yeah,
well.
I like it. I like seeing a win in the regular season. I don't really like draws too much.
How many draws have you played in? Have you guys played in many draws in your whole, your entire career?
I had one my first year down here and up at in the Q Cup, and it just feels weird. It does feel weird. It's like, I guess you'd rather get a draw than lose, but you sort of felt you lose when you drew or draw.
Yeah, it's a bit of a dead rubber, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, 1-300-736-736 to get involved. We're going to talk all about the Storm and how well they've started this year, 4-0. Of course, the Cowboys this weekend, and you're going to be in the squad.
Yes, in the squad.
what is it like, obviously, injuries and everything you've been through and all the rest of it? You may know if you're going to play. I just probably highly doubt you're going to tell us here on a public radio show.
Yes,
but
right.
In a situation such, like, what's the excitement? What is the emotions that, you know, when Craig Bellamy, I don't know, how does it work? Does he just put it up on the board or does he text you and tell you? How does that
generally
work?
You know, it's generally a private conversation. Yep. Then you'll be able to go through that with the group. Look, we won't know till a bit closer to the game, but it's nice to be, facing that opportunity and that outcome. But look, it's been a long road, and when that opportunity comes to just reflect on everything and play, I feel like I'm ready. I've had a good preseason, had a few little niggles throughout, but got some good games under my belt. As you touched on, Storm are 4-0. Each feeder team, the Falcons and East, are 5-0, so they're all undefeated. So club's in a really good position, and we're all ready, and it's that sort of next man up mentality.
What's the next 24, 48 hours? Like, when do you know? When do you officially know then? Do you know?
Probably
yesterday.
Day before the game.
Okay.
Yesterday,
all right,
maybe.
So how were you dealing with this week then? Without, you know, I don't want to probe and
it feels quite normal, really. Like, I don't know. Just I've been through so much of a roller coaster, and last year really made a difference. But going through the preseason, the trials, and now preparing for games, I feel like I'm just back in a routine. Like, it doesn't feel so foreign. So, as I said, I'm really prepared. We had a good game last week, and I'm really ready to take my opportunity and, you know, get back in the NRL. So it's exciting times.
When you're in a dressing shed, and obviously it's a little bit different for you, because, and we'll get to your injury in a moment and how that's all tracking. But when you look at Shandor and the thing and the story to where he's come to where he is today, what's the feeling like when there's an opportunity and the possibility of him playing on the weekend?
It's unreal. As you said, you know, he's been through 5 years of not playing first grade, and, you know, before he got banned, you know, he was killing it. So it's exciting to see, you know, just be a remarkable return to get back to what he's come from. I mean, I was just even excited last year when he scored his first try. You know, I've seen a whole lot of that, and, you know, that's just pretty cool, you know, so it's pretty unreal, yeah.
Wait, do you remember your last first, like, do you have vivid memories of your last first grade game?
Yeah, it wasn't good because it was 2013, Raiders, we didn't have a great year, we dropped off. So I played the last round of 2013, round 26, I think we got pumped, and then obviously I was facing a suspension and all the great publicity that come with that. So it's not the best memories, but, you know, I had some great footy at Canberra, so I'm taking that. But as I said, mate, Melbourne's an amazing club. They've done great things by me, and it's time when I get that opportunity to repay the faith and, you know, just enjoy the moment with the boys.
It's an amazing story, and you've well documented, and we're not going to go into it here, but the very fact, sometimes you just need to say raw stuff out loud, and the very fact is, 2013, mm-hmm. Now we talk about how much changes on a weekly basis in sport, regardless of what the sport is. You haven't played since first grade since 2000. Yeah. That is... When you hear 2013, what goes through your mind, the fact that is such a long time ago?
I was in year 10.
There you go. He'd only just got his learners. He wasn't able to drive yet. It sort of slaps you in the face, doesn't it, how long it is?
Yeah, ages ago. Think about it. You know, it feels like ages ago. I moved to Melbourne. That was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think another, two more years before that. So it is ages ago. Yeah, But I'm sure he's like lived a good life for the 4 years, eh?
He's enjoyed it.
Wasn't bad.
Did you like when you look at it and the way you now not only physically on the field but also how you holistically look at rugby league and sport and probably life in general? Mm. Do you believe you're a more mature person? But do you think the maturity will translate into being a better footballer when it comes to first grade and what you've already sort of, I guess, been doing at the reserve grade as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's no doubt that maturing came with age and experience, but I've said this numerous times. Everything I went through, although it was, you know, rubbish of a time and there was a lot to go through, but it really set me up for the person I am today. You know, probably accelerated that maturity. So there was some stuff that I had to face. I moved on. I did a lot of good things off the field out of that sort of footy bubble. And in hindsight, it'd really be hard to regret what happened because so many good things have come from it. But as you said, I sit here today among some great players. They're all the young fellas, Drinky, two great wingers. You look at Addo and Sully, and I'm still learning off them. So to come back in the Storm system, drop your ego, and you're almost chasing criticism. There's so much accountability, and you just become a better player. So that was the reason I wanted to come to the Storm, and hopefully I can show that.
All right, 4-0 for Melbourne Storm, last undefeated team in the league. Mm. Rooster sitting second. Now, it's always interesting conversation this, because every player obviously goes into it expecting and hoping, and when you're part of the Melbourne Storm program, finals and grand finals and premierships almost become the norm. But were you, with the changes, and of course Cooper Cronk the year before and then Billy Slater retiring into the last year and some changes that had to be made, are you a little bit surprised that you are sitting 4-0 as you continue to gel as a group and as a squad and as a team, or you just thought, yeah, it'll just be status quo for us?
No, it's pretty typical of the Melbourne Storm, you know, every year. Ever since I can remember, everyone writes off the Melbourne Storm saying they're done. You know, I just think, just see how grueling preseason gets everyone in shape for the year ahead. And it's pretty simple down here. You don't want to let anyone down. You've got a job to do on the field and everyone goes out and does that job. So it's not surprising that, you know, we're undefeated at the moment. Still a long year ahead and still got tough games to go. But at the moment, yeah, sitting pretty good.
Is that how much of it, and we talk about Craig Bellamy like he's a super coach, because honestly, he is. But how much credit, the very fact is that each and every year, you're just able to get rid of the exterior noise and just come in and just do your job and play well year in, year out. How much credit and the way that Craig Bellamy goes about it has to be given to him?
Heaps. Mm-hmm. As I said, you don't want to let anyone down, and you don't want to let him down the most. He'll ride you if you do screw up, so... You're always just, you know, doing everything you can in the field, you know, whether it's effort areas, you know, working hard for your teammates. it all comes back to, you know, him driving that into you. You know, you don't survive if you don't have that you know, that drive to be consistent every day, work hard, have hard work ethic. So, you know, it's all on him.
When you first met Craig Bellamy, or when first sat down to have a conversation with him, might not have been the first time you met him, but to join Melbourne Storm, was it a harrowing conversation? Was it intimidating? What's a conversation like with a guy like Craig Bellamy when you're trying to restart your career and in some aspects your life?
Well, it's a pretty amazing story, actually. Well, pretty cool. It is to me anyway. Mm-hmm. Without going into too much detail, I keep a little bit of it between myself and Craig, but I sort of, end of 2016, I spoke to my manager and it was very clear. Obviously, I moved here with those intentions, but I wanted to come to the Storm. I wanted to try and get a gig. I sort of isolated everything just to that. And I sort of thought, well, if I'm going to have one last crack at seeing how good I can be, this is the place to do it. So I pretty much wrote Craig a letter and penned, you know, what I'd been through, what I want to achieve and what I want to do. And he rang me the next day. We sat down in a cafe and, you know, he just basically said, mate, I'm in, let's do it. And mate, I was pinching myself. I didn't think, obviously, I was going to have that conversation, but for him to show that faith in me, it just sort of, it's a testament to who he is. And as I said, I still sit there in meetings and I'm just like, far out, this, we're sitting in front of Craig and just hearing him talk, it's unbelievable.
Now, just quick, did you actually pen a letter or did you type it on an email?
No, I penned it.
You actually penned, that probably got you the contract in its own right, because no one writes letters anymore. So to go outside the norm, that probably got his attention more so than anything else.
Almost. Well, yeah, I don't know. Obviously,
that's awesome.
I know
that
Craig's old
story.
School, but I just old thought school. Like, yeah, I didn't want to go through the normal route, you know what I mean? And yep. I think in this day and age, there's not many, that's probably one way you can just show, hey, it's me, this is me talking.
How hard was it to write the letter? When I mean that, how long did it take you to get on words what you wanted to express to Craig Bellamy?
Oh, no, it's pretty easy. I mean, you know, I've had 4 years to think about what I want to say. Yeah. But I was just like, it was basically everything I wanted to be through. I wanted to be really forthright and honest. And then I said basically my intentions. You know, I was pretty fairly confident, but I was just said, you know, what I believe I can bring to the team. And then, I just wanted to make that clear. And, mate, I'm so grateful. Obviously, to go through the ACL stuff is just another chapter, but to still be sitting here and now facing, you know, potential opportunities, it's unbelievable.
I look forward to this weekend as well. We're going to talk some injuries in a moment. It's an unfortunate side of sport, but sometimes a very interesting chat as well. The Purple Army is building for 2019 in Melbourne. You're our city and we're your club. Any 4 Melbourne Storm home games running $99. Call 1-300-STORMS now and be Melbourne proud in 2019. We're going to get to a break. Part of the sporting capital to Melbourne Storm Hour. Plenty more next.
We are the Storm from Melbourne Town. We'll blow the others off the ground. We are the Storm and we're number one.
On 1116 SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm undefeated. They take on the Cowboys this weekend. 1-300-736-736. Got some tickets to give away for a game in a couple of weeks against the Roosters. In Melbourne, there's only one rugby league team in town. Support the club that supports our city. Get 4. That's 4 Melbourne Storm home games for only $99. Call 1-300-STORMS now and be Melbourne proud. Now, boys, T-Bone of the week. We're going to get to it in about 20 minutes' time, but one of you learned gentlemen want to try and explain to me exactly where this has been born from and what it means and how we're going to give tickets away a little bit later on. But Chandor, tell me how T-Bone of the Week started.
So the T-Bone Award is in recognition of the great Cameron Munster. The boys, what were that? Who was it? It was Joe Stimson.
Joe Stimson, Dean Britt, and Christian Welsh and Money.
Yeah, so they basically live together and they called themselves the Porterhouse. So they've gone out and got tattoos and Money's obviously gone and got the tattoo on his butt cheek and got a T-Bone steak instead of the Porterhouse. So in memory of old Cameron Munster.
And just for the people like myself who's hearing this story for the first time and people at home, that is 100% legit.
100%.
It's on his Instagram, isn't it?
So it's a bit of a Goose of the Week award. So it's going to be T-Bone Weekly Award in memory of Cameron Munster's T-Bone tattoo.
Okay. Well, we'll get to the T-Bone of the Week and the T-Bone Award in around 15 minutes' time, and you can have your own nominations as well and some tickets to give away to the Roosters game in a couple of weeks on 1-300-736-736. Before all of that, though, and both you boys have been through major injuries in recent times. We might start with you, Scotty, because you're still going through it. And there's some interesting story and perception and the perspective and the maturity sometimes comes out of injuries and you can find a silver lining. But the Peck, how's it all tracking?
Well, as an injury-wise, it's come along pretty good. Progressing pretty fast. I like to think I'm a fast healer. Yeah. So I think it's come along. It's feeling pretty good. Still unable to do, you know, like passing and probably running fluently with my arm moving. So still a while away, but as an injury perception, it's come pretty good.
Well, what's it like in a situation where you are, isolation is probably too dramatic of a word, but you would be doing a lot of stuff by yourself. What's it like when the team is, you know, playing well and, you know, camaraderie between so many big group of players who are like obviously on the park and training? What's it like when you have to do stuff by yourself?
Yeah, so today we're training and I was out in the field and I was just running on the dead ball line and watching the boys train oppose each other, and I'm just on here and running, and yeah, it is like isolation. It's it gets lonely, it gets dark, and you do struggle at times, but the club, the physios there, they try and keep you mentally up, trying to always be confident, and like tell you good things about your injury, but it can get dark.
What's it like? And I'm going to get you, Shandor, who obviously had a major injury last year, but like, what's it like? You know, teammates, how in tune are you to be able to, when you see a player who is injured and can't join in the training and the games and take the enjoyment out of it, because that's part of what a big part of it is. Do you talk to the teammates? Do you try and include them in different things when they're struggling and down? How does it all work?
Yeah, I think Storm's a great example of how close we all are. I know everyone got around me when with my injury. You know, it was pretty horrific. Same with Drinky. I know everyone got around him, and everyone understands that injuries are, you know, the rubbish part of footy, but the best you can do is really just get around them, support them. And at the end of the day, as good as the intentions are, as Drinky said, you are isolated and the training is sort of quite repetitive, but that's just the nature of the beast with the injury. But you just got to try and find some inspiration from, you know, other people, what's going on, and just, I think, plenty of short-term goals. You know, Drinky, I know it's going to seem like forever, but, you know, in 5-6 weeks, he's going to be out there really right amongst it. So I know if he just sort of sets some short-term stuff up and, you know, looks to running and then a little bit more weights and then footy, and then before you know it, it'll come. And if when you get through something like that, as you said, good things happen in the end of it.
What's the worst thing for you right now and what you're having to go through with, you know, isolation and training by yourself and the fact you can't get in full contact drills? What's the thing that weighs on your mind the most?
Spending time with Hal.
No, I don't mind him. Probably the worst thing is just playing football.
Yep.
And it's all I've known since I was 5. So I've never had a serious injury. I've never missed more than 4 weeks of football. So yeah, it's just playing football and get a footy in your hand. I can't even pass at the moment, so I'm not doing too much footy wise. So it is a bit, that's probably the worst thing, not being able to play.
And like the club and Melbourne Storm, and I assume that all rugby league clubs are like this, but do you have ways to set up and people to chat to if you're going through, in particular, a first injury? Because it is something, you know, you're right. You play, the moment you can pick up a football, you've been doing it and now you can't do it. Smack bang just happens in one injury. Is there people, do you talk about it much? Is there ways to try and help you alleviate some of the disappointment that you have to deal with as well?
There is people at the club, yeah. I'm all right away from training. Yep. Like, I'm all right off the field. It's just when I'm at training, I reckon it sucks the most. Just as Shandor says, it's just so repetitive that what you do every day and gets boring. But away from training, I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty stable. I've got, you know, I'm focusing on uni a lot more this semester because I can. So I'm pretty motivated outside of footy. It's just when I'm at training, it's pretty hard.
So out of that, I take, Shandor, that obviously you were failing last year at uni, but now because of the injury, you're passing?
I was passing, but just. I'm going to go for credits.
Okay, there
get
you
one
go.
Better.
Mate, you obviously had a major injury last year, and similar thing going through, you know, isolation and having to step by step and slowly when you come to an ACL. When you did it, and all that you'd been through and the situation where you found yourself in, did you think at different times you should give it up? Did you think this is probably a sign that, hey, this is enough, you know, I've got an opportunity? But like, what went through your mind in those situations?
Mate, it was tough, devastating. I couldn't believe it, you know. I thought that's the one injury you don't want to get is the ACL, you know, it's the big one. But the biggest thing was in 2017, I worked my ass off. Like, I trained by myself. I was running a business and I worked really hard to make sure I rocked up for that preseason in good nick, and I was. And I felt like I was ticking every box and really on the right path that I wanted to be. So to do my ACL like 3-4 weeks into preseason, it was, you know, it was shocking. And I shed a few tears. And for me, I've been through enough ups and downs that I know if you can just maintain a positive attitude and get by. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. And I know I've been through enough of those things to know that that's the reality of the situation. So, as I said, go through the emotions, face what's coming, and then it's just what's next. It's a black and white choice. You either let it bring you down and control your emotions, or you think, what can I do next? And for me, it was just focusing on the surgery, good outcome, rehab, training well, and just being positive. The only way I could give back was by training well, so that's what I wanted to do. And then to give me another contract, as I said, I'm indebted to the Storm.
We spoke about perspective a little bit earlier, but you know, when people do an ACL or get a major injury and have to miss an entire year of whatever sport they are participating in, it can weigh on their mind, and you can work in your own mind, I guess, so negatively towards what you're trying to get to. But after what you've been through in your journey and, you know, ups and downs and all the rest of it, do you think that you handled what you had to handle last year better than what a traditional person who would have done an ACL does?
Yeah, I think my past has set me up for that. And, you know, that's something whether it's at the Storm or with my teammates or anyone that I get to talk to, that's something that I want to be able to share. You know, that's probably my leadership style in a way, is just staying positive and being able to offer my story and journey as a bit of inspiration. So if at any point, you know, I'm struggling, not where I want to be or going through something, if I can stay positive and have a good attitude, I feel like that's a good representation for others to sort of follow.
Well, from the outside looking in, after, you know, the story and where he was, what was going through your mind, or what was the discussion point, or what did you think about what he had to go through last year after where he'd been to and the position he put himself back in? Do you remember?
Yeah, it sucked. I actually passed him the ball. It wasn't actually a great pass.
It was.
So you've been holding on the blame the whole time, have you, inside?
Oh, I've been holding the blame, but yeah, I remember passing him the ball from down the half.
Because it was, is that a Drew play where you go?
It was like a zip, come out one way and come back.
So it's Drinky's fault.
It wasn't even on, I just did it off the cuff. But it was devastating to find out that it happened. But at the same time, I think you'd probably rather do it in the preseason, in the season. You got back mid-year. Played some good footy towards the end, just missed out in the finals. But, yeah, as you can, he got back pretty quickly. It was pretty amazing, his recovery. I think the way person he is, the way he treats himself off the field, I think it helped him a lot.
Did you have traditional Rico?
No, not in the traditional sense. I had a quad graft. So the surgeon down here, Julian Feller, really good. Mm-hmm. He's sort of opting towards that, the technique they're taking out the graft. And it's just a big, thick graft. So it all made sense to me. And I was really happy with the surgery, the surgeon, and the outcome at the end of the day. So, at the end, I got a few niggles after I came back and probably, missed a few opportunities because of that. But I came back in 6.5 months, which is a really, really good outcome.
No doubt, big effort. All right, we're going to get to a break. T-Bone Award or T-Bone of the Week, whatever you call it, is coming your way next. And your chance at home to win 1-300-736-736 and prizes and tickets to give away as well. The Purple Army is building for 2019, Melbourne undefeated. And you're our city and we're your club. Buy any 4 Melbourne Storm home games for only $99. Call 1-300-STORMS now and be Melbourne proud in 2019. T-Bone Award next right here in the Melbourne Storm Hour.
We are the Storm from Melbourne Town. We'll blow the others off the ground. We are the Storm and we're number one.
On 1116 SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
It most certainly is. 1-300-736-736 to get involved. The Purple Army is building for 2019 and Melbourne, you're our city and we're your club. Any 4 Melbourne Storm home games, only $99. Call 1-300-STORMS now and be Melbourne proud in 2019. 0433 98 11 16 off the text as well. Just quickly before we get to the T-Bone Award of the Week off the text today, at Purple Paul Melbourne, how do you maintain the self-belief to, after an extended period out of the game, write to one of the best coaches in the business and tell him what you can add to a team of great players? That's towards you, Shandor, with the penning of the note to Craig Bellamy.
Yeah, I mean, that self-belief just comes from confidence. I mean, at some point, you got to have self-belief. At the end of the day, like, if you don't have that, you've really shot yourself in the foot from the get-go. Mm-hmm. So for me, like I said, mate, I had 3 years to think about not only what I was going to say, but what I wanted to do. And there was a big build-up and, the way I finished footy was fairly good. So I had a good time at the Raiders and people ask me all the time, but my intentions was always to come back to football. So I was very clear with what I wanted to do and very clear with what I wanted to achieve. Now, it's not always going to be an easy path, but it was pretty easy to put into words.
Where do you enjoy living more? Canberra or Melbourne? I can't even ask that joke with a straight face.
He's very confident in himself, Shandor.
Yeah,
it's not an issue.
You have to be, mate.
Confidence at its high.
All right, T-Bone Award. boys. 1-300-736-736 to get involved at home if you want to get involved. We've got some tickets to give away here. A double pass to see Melbourne Storm take on the Roosters. Amy Park on Friday 19th. All thanks to Melbourne Storm, our city, our club. Where do you want to start?
All right, so if you've got any T-Bone nominations as well, feel free to call in, especially Storm players. Maybe Christian Welsh has brushed you at a signing, being arrogant, something like that probably happens, so feel free to call in. Otherwise, our first T-Bone mention is Brody Croft. So we've picked up, head to the Sporting Capital Twitter page.
Hang on, I'll go one step further. I've got something for you here. I'll just play
it straight
out.
Got some audio. Oh, yes.
Here we go. Phil, hang on. No.
What song do you pumped up before a game or a type of music?
Oh, I like to tell the boys a bit of 50 Cent or The Game, Tupac.
Do you sing along to these?
Oh, I try to. Oh, the choruses.
Here's your chance if you want it.
I got nothing.
All right, there is.
Wow.
Is that true?
Nah. I've seen his playlist and it's the opposite end of that. It's Vance Joy.
Yep.
Taylor Swift is something that chills him out. I don't reckon 50 Cent, Tupac look alike.
Oh, he knows the words, he reckons. That's outrageous. Anyway, front runner. Our next tweet we have, again, on the Sporting Capital page, we've got Christian Welsh. So I screenshotted this little text that he sent through, and he's done basically a photo triage of him and the Hemsworth brothers. Ooh. So he fancies himself as a solid lookalike to Chris Hemsworth. We all know that's not true. Especially the ears that Christian has. So it's very hard to make that comparison.
I mean, look at the photo. Just for people who may not have seen it yet, was he photographed with the brothers or he photoshopped himself in?
He's photoshopped himself in. And it's a common theme. He commonly refers to himself as Thor. So as I said, there's a few things that I would say are key, the ears and just his general appearance. So that's a struggle. But again, another nomination. Our third and second last one, we have another tweet of the great Albert Vette, three hat-trick try scorer on the weekend for the East Tigers. Now, there's rumours of a bit of lair. I don't know if Drinky can add some onto this, but he's basically slamming balls after tries, taking photos with three fingers up and really getting around it. Now, I know it's a great achievement for a prop, but, you know, that's a T-bone.
That's a massive T-bone. Front rower, you know, you put the ball down, you're just happy to get a try. You don't stare in the camera and, you know, let's go, give you that stuff. But, yeah, it's massive T-bone that. I think Shandor's bringing that up back because he scored a hat-trick on the weekend. Yes. He just wants everyone to know about that.
Oh, well, if you want to talk about it, we can talk about that in the last segment.
Cherry pickers or what? Just put the ball down?
Oh, there's a bit of work to do 10 metres out. Anyway. So lastly, Christian's also texted me blowing up, but that's the outcome we want. Lastly, we've got the great Billy Walters, son of Kevin Walters, who you probably know. He's pitching at the airport here, tucking into some Red Rooster. So a diet plan isn't something he's really great at. For those who don't know, he doesn't eat any sauce, any form of sauce.
At all.
No dressing, no sauces. So you can imagine we're talking spaghetti bolognese with dry mince and dry pasta.
And they're separated. They're not mixed together.
It's not normal. But doesn't mind Red Rooster and McDonald's, which we've got him snapped here. So, again, another T-bone. So let us know your nominations and also let us know who you think is the T-Bone of the Week award, and I'll be sure to announce that at training.
All right, 1-300-736-736 to get involved. Just on the no sauce thing, hang on, just explain what happens with the spaghetti then. So he has pasta in one bowl and then dry, just mince in the other.
Yeah.
Does he eat one?
You can't even call that spaghetti bowl.
No, you really can't. So he actually eats he'll eat the pasta first and then eat the meat second, like an entree main situation?
Yeah, kind of like that. regularly his dinner is just fried rice.
Just noodles.
Just noodles. Just Ikoga Pops for breakfast.
Honestly.
But mate, you're a professional athlete.
He's a Queenslander.
What does a nutritionist have to say about
this? What would a nutritionist do with Billy Walters, honestly? You wipe your hands with him. you wouldn't even bother. Would you?
All right. A T-Bone has walked off Dave on the text. The three Queensland teams haven't won a game in 2 weeks. What's doing? So he's looking up north and giving a whack to the Broncos, the Cowboys, and of course the Titans, who haven't had a good fortnight.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's going on up there. Especially the Broncos are copping a bit of stick. I heard there was pretty epic spray from Gordon Tallis. He seems to think there's a bit of a culture thing going on. But I don't know. Who knows? Cowboys are going through a bit of transition. Broncos have obviously got a good team on paper. And yeah, the Titans, obviously they're in a bit of a tough spot, but yeah, I'm always happy to see the Queenslanders struggling.
Hey, just on that. So when are you guys media, like do you listen to what happens outside, like radio, TV, newspaper? Like when Gordy goes bang and of course a man of his standing, it sometimes sticks and he's on the money. Do you take that in as in when it's towards you guys or your own team, or just ignore it?
Kind of ignore it. You kind of use it as just like motivation.
Yep.
I think sometimes it'll be brought up in a meeting, you know, use as motivation for that week. So for us, yeah, we use motivation. It's a good thing for us to, you know, when we hear that. So the boys get pumped up. But yeah, you know, probably you played for the Broncos and you know, degrading your team, that's a pretty serious.
It is.
Accolade, whatever the word is.
And considering he's one of the greats who have worn the jersey as well. So
100%.
That hits hard, doesn't it?
It's pretty serious, so you must think there's something going on.
Does Craig Bellamy ever like stick something up on the wall to, you know, like a newspaper article, or when you walk into the dressing sheds before a game and there's something there?
No, we can't tell you, mate.
You can't tell me? All right, cool. Hey, just off the text, I actually missed this, so I do apologise, but apparently you said, does triage, so you said triage rather than montage when you were talking about the Chris Hemsworth and Welsh photo.
Yeah, so
is there a story here?
No. So
he just stuffed up. So I know he's nominated you.
Triage, I meant montage, but I've seen three photos and try three. So
okay,
I've gone
cool.
triage. But yeah.
Okay.
Triage is in my head also because that's what I'm always G'ing up the physio team because they're always in triage. So I'm always, maybe that's why it's in my head.
I don't know who this text is from, but I'm assuming that it's probably from Welsh or someone close to the source who's coming through on 0433981116. 1300 736 736 to get involved. Double pass to see the Melbourne Storm take on the Sydney Roosters, Amy Park on Friday, April 19th. All thanks to Melbourne Storm, our city, our club. So that's in a couple of weeks' time. That'll be your second game back, Shandor.
Oh, this weekend. Well, let's hope so, mate.
Hopefully. Hey, we are still a couple of weeks away, and when obviously when Jack gets back in the seat, I'm no doubt you'll talk about this, but the Anzac Day game and how important and how emotional it is, and you boys, without, you know, last year, obviously you, Shandor, we weren't playing in it, but to be a part of it, how exciting is it? And to, you know, lights go out and then the last post and all the rest of it. It's such a monumental moment and such an historic day in a country, obviously. But for sport to play a small part is something pretty special, isn't it?
Drinky's seen a few, but last year was my first. And, oh, mate, if I could pinpoint a game for the year, bar some of the finals, that would be the one. The lights out, the spectacle they put on, and just there's a lot in that game, you know what I mean? Obviously with the Anzac, a lot of history, but obviously with is it always Warriors versus Storm?
Yeah.
So obviously you got the New Zealand Australian rivalry, so it's pretty epic. Like as I said, when I seen it last time, I was pretty cool.
You get pretty good goosebumps. You sit in the stand, just like, I want to play this game one day.
You open the year this year, which is the first time in a long time where Melbourne Storm got opening game.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Do you take that as a huge compliment for the football club?
Yeah, I think so. Like and great rivalry start with the Broncos, and they were sort of, again, layering up a bit that they wanted to come out and take that off. I mean, I think the Storm have won 15 or 16 in a row of their first game, so that wasn't something they were happy to lose. But to start off against the Broncos with a good win, on the back of, I think it was a massive representation of our preseason. We sort of grinded them out, so it was a good start.
1300 736 736 to get involved. A couple of passes to UA Melbourne Storm to take on the Sydney Roosters. So if you've got a T-Bone Award nomination,
bring him in.
Fire it up now, 0433 98 1116. Let's get to a quick break. On the other side of it, more in the Melbourne Storm Hour.
We are the Storm from Melbourne Town. We'll blow the others off the ground. We are the Storm and we're number one.
On 1116 SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
Brendan Miller, T-Bone Award, 1300 736 736 to get involved. Double of parts to see the Storm take on the Roosters. Friday, April 19th. Up for grabs. Let's get to Craig, who's in South Melbourne, the Kickstarters. Craig, hello.
Hey, hello, mate.
What do you got, Craig, for us?
It's actually Tony from Two Wreck. Craig was a fake name. So I've heard from numerous players in the Melbourne Storm that Shandor Orrell actually started a ringworm epidemic. Is this true, or I'll let you defend yourself.
Tony, that's a thick Kiwi accent you got there. Have you always been from Toorak, or?
Nah, smoking, mate, smoking.
Yeah, right, no worries. Look, I'd like to take the blame for the ringworm epidemic, but I think you'll find the ring king is young Ryan Pappenhausen. So, yeah, unfortunately he's brung that in, and we've all suffered because of it. But great question, Tony.
You don't still have that one on your neck now, do you?
No, I'm ring free, Tony. Ring free.
Thank you, Tony. 1-300-736-736. Cheryl. Hello,
this is Cheryl speaking. I've got a quick question for the Sandor Earl.
Fire away.
How are you?
I was just down taking a stroll down Chapel Street, and I've seen him in there putting foils in his hair. I'm just wondering if there's any, you know, if you can explain what he was doing.
Yeah, Cheryl, obviously... Few highlights in the hair. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, Cheryl. Have you ever dyed your hair before?
I'm just wondering, when you're on the field, I actually seen that you scored 3 on the weekend. Are they getting confused with the ball girls, maybe?
Any idea who this might be?
No, I don't actually.
No. Sounds like Brody Croft.
It's probably Christian Welsh.
It is, and it's Curtis Scott, I believe, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, Curtis Scott.
You there,
actually,
Curtis?
Yeah. Beat it.
Yeah, pretty happy with himself too there, which I liked as well. Always got to enjoy your own work. Quickly, I'm fairly certain this isn't a teammate. Michael's in Reservoir. Hello, Michael.
G'day, boys. Just quickly before I say mine. I can't believe you're on top of the ladder and you got players ringing up being flogged on radio.
Nah, having a bit of fun, mate. You got anything else for us?
Yeah, I know that.
No, yeah, I'm with you, mate. I'm with you.
Mine is Valentine Holmes. He's made it back to Australia and he's obviously signed a deal for his partner. Mm-hmm. They're getting engaged or married.
Yeah. Did he?
I don't know. I have no idea about that. I know that they would be looking to. That's official, is it? All right. Well, there you go.
Congratulations to him.
Took a pay cut, so I suppose he's got to sell some deals. But I also think that there's going to be a fair deal about an announcement and a tell all at some point as well that I think these agents might be looking at, which I think, boys, is something that we expect in these type of situations, don't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can't believe he rang up and called your teammates flogs, but
cheers, Mike. Unfortunately, you've missed out on the tickets, mate.
Hey, quickly, before we let you go, and good luck for this weekend, in particular you, Shandor, with hopefully you're going to say first grade. You did bury the lead. You just told us off air that you were sat in the coach's box last game. Now, don't give us the intimate knowledge of what happened, but how fun and weird and exciting and unique was it for you?
It was just a different experience.
Yep.
At the same time, it was pretty exciting. It's just a good view into what, you know, they want to see while you're on the field. You know, you obviously don't get to talk to the coaches while you're out there. Mm-hmm. So it was a good view on that. I'm sure if I ever get a chance to play again and do something wrong, I'll know what will be said. But, yeah, he's all right.
Give you a bit of a different perspective from being up there?
Not really. But, yeah, not really.
Not at all?
Nah.
All right, that was a good question by me. Thank you, appreciate it. Now, Eddie, big 24 hours for Bowell. Maybe not for you because everyone else got the day off or travelling and you're going to be in the club slogging it away at rehab tomorrow. You enjoy it, but you are going to have a big 24 hours, we assume, because you are on the plane regardless, being in the squad. So you head up to Far North Queensland tomorrow?
Yes, it's very exciting. I'll tell you what's not exciting.
Uh-oh.
Every morning at the club cafe watching Christian Welsh on his own reading The Australian. That's not exciting. Just a little bit of insight there.
All right. On that note, we're done.
Legend.
Enjoy. Good luck. 5-0 this week against North Queensland. And hopefully next time we catch up, which I think will be next time, next Tuesday, you'll be back playing first grade, mate.
Boom. Let's hope so.
And you'll be feeling better. It's been the Melbourne Storm Hour.
G'day, Mike Hussey here. Get on board Australia's best fantasy cricket game, KFC Supercoach BBL. It's fun, free and easy to play. Play today at supercoach.com.au.
T's and C's apply. New South Wales authorisation number TP/01005.